Remember.
M-A-R-I-J-U. A-J-U-A-N-A. Marijuana. Marijuana.
With the Pioneer Times at William Patterson. With me is my co-host, Mitchell Lane, a.k.a. Smackman. Today we're going to talk about William Patterson's newfound relationship with medicinal marijuana since Murphy signed it in, and a little bit about our country's history with it.
Now, I'll start with a walkthrough of Business Insider's coverage of how we got to where we are with illegal marijuana and legal marijuana. Do you know a bit about that yourself?
No, actually. Can you tell me about it?
Well, Business Insider says that in the early 1900s, an influx of Mexican immigrants came to the U.S. fleeing political unrest in their home country. So,
it's pretty cool.
It's still happening today.
Right.
And I feel like this story is going to sound a lot like what they're doing with Coke.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not going to be so friendly, though.
With them, though, they brought not just weed, because of hemp, you know? They always talk about how, oh, we used to have weed for growing hemp and making shirts and making pantyhose.
Right.
Yeah, but when Mexican immigrants brought it with them, they were just like, no, they passed the joint.
That was it?
That was it.
Was that really, like, they just brought it was all
recreational? They were already having fun with it.
Wow.
They weren't as business-minded as the early American.
I guess so.
With them, they brought it, so, and it took off. It was wildly popular.
Mm. I get it.
The Spanish word used to be used more often, too, before all the dirty business. They would use the version with the H, marijuana. And it's not just, that's not just a silly Spanish pronunciation of marijuana. That's how, like, that's it, H. And once it took off, a lot of crazy headlines about marijuana started to appear. And this is concurrent with how they treated black people with the watermelon crop. It was very popular. It was booming business for black farmers, and then they started the propaganda in which they ruined it for them and made it an unpopular crop.
Right.
Because how dare?
Toward, yeah.
So
better than my business.
Soon after all this, in 1936, a propaganda film called Reefer Madness was put out.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's a crazy joint.
pun intended.
Pun always intended. they've got it's in black and white, but they've done some sort of weird early on color affectation to make the smoke of the marijuana like orange, purple, blue, all this weird colors. And it's obviously like that's a great angle to go with because it's funny to look at in 1936.
Right, right.
They're running away from trains that are coming towards the screen back then.
Oh my god. It sounds ironic because that also sounds like something cool you would watch when you're high. Like all the colors at your face.
It has since become a traditional thing to put on while high.
Really?
But most streaming services don't carry it because it's just like a stinky little film.
Right.
Yeah. So, according to the business, in the movie, teenagers smoke weed for the first time, and this leads to a series of horrific events involving hallucination, attempted R-word, and murder. Much of the media portrayed it as a gateway drug. Now, how do you feel about it?
What's attempted R word?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
For our non-visual viewers, you didn't need to see that.
Right.
So we've got gateway drug as the topic.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
How do you feel about the idea of marijuana being an actual gateway drug? Because I have found it to always be socially happening rather than you smoking the marijuana and loving the high that much.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's definitely always been social. It's like, you know, you just get curious about it at some age.
I always pictured it as a disobedience gateway. Like, you disobey your parents and the police by smoking weed in, like, the 90s, and then you can continue that disobedience by doing the other things they told you not to do. It's not about, oh, I love the high. It's, I'm just being a kid.
Here's what I think is also, like, another little irony about it. Like, we hear about it through, the D.A.R.E. program and stuff like that, and I get, like, don't do drugs or whatever, but, you definitely sometimes, in my opinion, in those kind of programs, they talk about these things, and then all of a sudden you're kind of planting the seed in these like young kids' minds that eventually, like, because their parents say it's bad and whatnot, there's going to be like some rebellion going on.
As far as I subconsciously remember, the DARE program has always been a little bit of a joke, because do you remember at the earliest age you remember knowing that marijuana wasn't actually bad for you? When did you first watch Harold and Kumar?
Like high school.
High school, really? Like I saw it in like when it came out, when I was a little tiny toddler.
Really?
Yeah, no. And that's how I, like, it's set in my mind early on. It's like, oh, marijuana is not actually going to cause me to die. It's going to cause me to eat Cheetos.
No, I'd say like end of middle school, beginning of high school, because I would like catch it on like TV.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that, like, that conflicting information you got growing up, where, like, you watch movies and these, like, these wholesome funny guys in movies, they're smoking joints and having a good time, and then you go home and they're telling you, like, as a child, to just avoid it at all costs or it'll ruin your life.
Right.
And when you have conflicting information like that, it invalidates the warnings, because the kids know, and any other warning you come out with after that, oh, Coke's bad, this bad, this bad, well, you've lost some credibility.
Right.
DARE program lost a lot of credibility by being so anti-marijuana. So, in 1937, the year after they put out that movie, the Marijuana Tax Act was passed. Cannabis sales were now taxed. And part of the reason for this was passed because all the fear-mongering going on at the time. A huge instigator, big bad man, he was a king of the Prohibition era. But it ended in 1933. This guy had nothing to do. His name was Harry Anslinger. He hated fun.
He hated fun?
He turned his focus to marijuana. And in this point in American history, according to Business Insider here, xenophobia and racism really kicked in. So he was able to just point marijuana at Mexican immigrants and compare them to violence-inducing gangs and other things. Mm. Black community as well.
Right.
It was a good package of terror to sell the American media and public. By emphasizing the Spanish word marijuana instead of cannabis, he created a strong association between the drug and the newly arrived Mexican immigrants.
Mm.
That association did not last, because never in my life have I thought weed and Mexicans.
Except for, like, the name of it. Marijuana.
Actually, I only ever heard it used pejoratively. I've heard the term Mexiweed to describe a poor quality bag of weed. But that just sounds like racism.
It sounds like racism, but I've never even heard that was a thing. Mexiweed?
Yeah.
Sounds like some weird superhero. Or some kind of, like, product for, like,
long-term. It sounds like an invasive species of, like garden herb.
Yeah.
So, he created the narrative about black people on marijuana, Hispanic people on marijuana, and he pushed that jazz was evil music created by people under the influence of marijuana.
Right.
Mitchell, you are almost like a jazz musician yourself. How do you feel about that?
that's a very loose statement you can make there, but
it's about the notes you don't play.
Yeah, it's about letting your mind free. I like to play around and improvise, which is fun, and that's like jazzy. You don't have to be on drugs. I'll admit, a lot of those guys were smoking weed and they were doing that stuff, but, like, to be honest, all of jazz and everything just comes from, like, the soul and, like, where they're coming from, like, deep down. It's like, drugs or no jazz, there's people out there playing jazz music. They're not even, like, drinking or anything like that. They're just kind of, like, they're just playing out from, like, what feels good, you know? So, that's what I think. I mean, I'll admit, when I play, sometimes maybe a little bit of weed can help. It definitely loosens you up, but just so does like a little drink. So I guess that's a little comparative there.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah.
So let's get into how New Jersey finally decided to let us smoke marijuana. Let's get into this. Come on, it's exciting.
It is cool.
Now, in New Jersey, weed was legal in 2021, January 1st. That's when it started. A fresh new year, hi me.
Mm-hmm.
Governor Murphy signed the New Jersey Cannabis Regulatory, the Enforcement Assistance, and Marketplace Modernization Act. Now, I went through the regulatory, I saw the things. It's a lot of that is just defining terms so people can't mess with each other in courts. You know what I mean? Like, what is a dispensary? A dispensary is specifically this, this, and this. What is a licensee of this, this, and this?
Gotcha, it's a lot of law.
And it's that type of thing that, like, do you remember when we, the last time we failed to get it passed? It was because we had, like, spelling errors and all types of misinfo inside the packet.
Are you serious? I didn't know that.
You didn't know about that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it was kind of embarrassing. But we finally pushed it through. Legalizing and regulating cannabis use and possession for adults 21 years and older, and decriminalizing marijuana and hashish possession. Now, 21 years and older, it's like, oh yeah, we matched the liquor age, but when is it really true, you know? Because we used to be told all sorts of lies growing up. I was told cigarettes would keep me short, and I was told marijuana would potentially stunt my growth as a mental thing. Neither of which are probably true at all.
I think it's like any kind of substances. If you start drinking or smoking at an early age, I think there could be some kind of stunting. But then again, I mean, I don't know. I'm no doctor. I'm a loosely termed jazz musician. But, I don't know. I think if it's, like, way too young, like, it makes sense to make sure, like, kids under the age don't do it, because that's, like, a huge developmental age. Maybe, like...
What was the youngest age you smoked?
Me?
Yeah.
I think I was like a freshman in high school. So
like, I was 14, so yeah, around there for me too.
Right, yeah. And then and I don't know. I mean, like, I could say I have my own personal habit problem, so I think it probably didn't help that I started that early.
I mean, it's different for everyone, you know?
Yeah, I guess
it's like, you know, food's gonna have obese people, weed's gonna have people who can't leave the house because they're playing a game.
Mm. But like with I don't know, I think it's any kind of substances. Like we knew kids who were like drinking in like high school and stuff like that. It's like that stuff like will definitely like it'll affect your brain development, because what, now we're going to be 26, you're 25, like our brains are fully developed at this point. Like
I feel like anything that alters your sense of perception mentally is just going to, like, if you use it nonstop, yeah, how you perceive the world is going to change. It's going to change you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. But, yeah.
It just goes, as far as the history, man, that guy, Harry Anslinger, he really burned the weed library of Alexandria on this one.
Did he?
We could have known so much more at this point, and now we're just starting to pop up these special programs. Let's get into the programs, because this is pretty cool stuff that we have going, and it's only getting better. Sure. As they find out who and what, who wants to get into it, who wants to learn. At William Patterson, we have a medical cannabis certificate and an advanced certificate. Now, according to their website, this self-paced program provides core information on cannabis and patient care and pharmacy. It is comprised of 6 evidence-based modules that provide the necessary knowledge and skills required to respond to inquiries by clients, patients, and other healthcare providers on cannabis legal status, usage, proper assessment, monitoring, and care plan development. A lot of big words to just throw around what is an ambiguous education system going on here, I think. What is really in it? The evidence-based modules, you can tell it's not person-to-person, so there's no professor. You're teaching yourself with the modules. In the advanced certificate is a self-paced program on cannabis and patient care and pharmacy. You're expected to know everything from the lower certificate, according to this.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know all about...
Wait, you're expected to know just all about marijuana?
The basics, I guess. It says specifically the main components of cannabis plant, the major difference between cannabis constituents, the evidence about the endocannabinoid system, cannabinoid pharmacokinetics, pharmacodynamics, safety, side effects, precautions, constraints, and drug-to-drug interactions.
Mm. So it sounds like a big...
It sounds a lot like EMT work.
A little bit. I mean, it's like all... This is all very medical
speak. Potential drug-to-drug interactions? Yeah. We're not hoping for that.
Well, you think they're talking about like, oh,
like what's it like if he does coke and weed at the same time? No, just don't even bother talking about it.
If he ends up doing that, then don't show up to class the next day.
So these modules explore the interrelationship between cannabinoids and opioids. It seems like there's a lot of scientific level stuff going on here. I hate scientific level education unless it's this for science.
This sounds really interesting, though. If honestly, if this was a class when I was going to school, I may have been a little more interested because I got involved with, like...
Well, high schools are never getting a marijuana class.
No, that's not what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying is, like, oh, like, I did like, my own self-research, right? But, like, if I knew about this kind of stuff in college or something like that, that would have been, like, a cool, like, oh, cool elective or something like that to check out. Like, hey, I can learn about this stuff that, for a while now, I've been ingesting, but not really, like, understanding the real, like, scientific factors to all of this. Because it all is... I know a guy who is working at a dispensary, and the hiring process and everything, he had to, like, understand and learn about the different scientific factors that go into marijuana, so it can actually, you know, it kind of, like, leads people to know
more. Yeah, it sounds like the process for these kind of things has become really uptight since legalization, and I hope it becomes less uptight. I don't think you should need half a degree to sell me a joint.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, who knows? Only time will tell.
So, basically from this, you can hope to be a doctor that prescribes marijuana, and you can also get a position as a store pharmacist at a dispensary. Apparently, dispensaries are legally required to have a store pharmacist on hand at all times.
I didn't know that.
Which, I guess, is helpful.
Yeah, just to understand it.
So, they say the purpose of this course is to educate physician pharmacists, and certified registered nurse practitioners or physician assistants seeking to register in New Jersey. Yeah, that seems like a pretty good program, so let's compare it to some other schools and what they're doing. First one I looked at was Stockton's program in nearby.
Right.
How is the cannabis studies minor different from the cannabis studies certificate, since they have both? They have a certificate, and they also have their own minor.
Oh, that's cool.
Stockton Cannabis Studies minor courses are credit-bearing. So these courses have credits.
Wow.
You are graduating by learning about weed.
Wow.
See, that's where I hope for William Patterson to get to at some point, because I agree with the assessment that they made in the regulatory that Phil Murphy signed. It's just, I think education for this is really important.
Mm-hmm. And just deeper understanding.
The classes are self-paced, of course, though, meaning you don't have a teacher. You don't have a professor. I'm sure there are at least one professor at a college anywhere that says, I want to be Professor Weed.
I gotcha. Maybe one day.
So, another school I wanted to talk about was the University of Vermont, because they're actually the first medical school in the nation to offer a professional certificate in the nation. This is another non-credit program, but it's unique because they were the first to do it. It's from an angle, it's... Yeah. So, their 7-week online professional certificate is designed for physicians, dispensary personnel, nurse practitioners, pharmacists, the usual. They have a department of pharmacology that offers this program, but as far as it goes, they're offering no credit still, and... This seems to be based more on actually starting your own business than it is compared to the other Stockton and William Patterson's. It looks like cannabis's history and business, law, and policy is being brought up, which has not been brought up in the previous one. So that's a little bit about their curriculum towards marijuana. It's different and it's unique. First school to do it. They concentrate on evidence-based scientific approaches to understanding the therapeutic uses of cannabis for the future of medicine.
That's pretty cool.
Yep. You even got there. Oh, I think I have a director of the Medical Cannabis Center for Research and Education at the school, the Cannabis Pharmacology course at the University of Vermont Medical School. Do you know what that means?
No, what does that mean?
That's Dr. Weed.
That's Dr. Weed?
We found her.
Wow. Oh, her. That was a twist. I didn't expect that.
That's all right.
ignorant of me.
And that about wraps up our coverage on where you can hear about medical programs that will help you learn more about marijuana near you, New Jersey, Vermont, Pennsylvania. It's being happening, it's going on, and it looks like it's going to grow. You don't think we'll get credit courses?
I don't know. I hope you do. I hope you get credit courses. That it'd be, it's well off. like, you know, it's got a lot of new information. These are new times to be learning new things, so why not?
It's like, oh, why can't I just learn about marijuana online? Well, the point of school is that they kind of compartmentalize and organize the important information for you, and they teach it to you in a learnable way. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. And it lowers some of the risks that some people may have of learning about marijuana incorrectly. On your own. Yeah, and incorrectly.
All right, that about wraps it up. Cue in the jazz music, and let's wrap it up for the week.
Alrighty. This week's weather is looking like a nice 35 for the rest of the time here. And my name is Smackman, and
I'm Tony C.
And this has been
Okay the High.